a message for President Trump, President Obama, pastors, and people. From the grave of the prophet Martin Luther King Jr., adapted from his message titled Rediscovering Lost Values, subtitled This Is a Moral Universe. Part 3, Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew, speaking of Jesus, the Christ, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Don't be shocked at that. That's the point of Dr. Martin Luther King's message here. They had left Jesus behind and knew not of it. Like so many of us today, we have left God behind, we have left Jesus behind, and we don't even know it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, some of us are thinking that God is with us, and he is not. That the Lord is with us and blessing us, and he is not. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. That's a long time. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass, and that's what we need to do, we need to turn back and seek Jesus. We need to pray and seek God's face, seek Jesus' face, humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Holy Father God, we are weak and feeble, and we acknowledge that, and really nothing without you. We're just dust without you. And we look to you to give us your power, your anointing, your unction of your Holy Spirit, Lord, within. Have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us, specks of dust, nothing without you, for Jesus Christ's sake, and forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults, our pride, our stubbornness, our rebelliousness. Help us all as Christians, those of us who name the name of Christ, those of us who have truly been born again and saved. Help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves by your grace, by your might, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Every sin that you convict us of, help us to confess it, and not only to confess it, but to repent of it. And Lord, where we have gotten away from you in our pride, in our rebelliousness, in our materialism, in our being drenched in power and might in our society, thinking that we are something special. Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you and to see ourselves the way we really are. Nothing without you, and the good progress that we've made in this life is only because of you. Help us to remember and help us to understand that you can take it away. You've done it in the past to your people, and you'll do it again. So, Holy Father God, we pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons and his hosts, Lord, from this place and from this time and from this meeting. For we know that he's planning and plotting and trying to do his best to hinder the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of your holy word. Help us all to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Control all of us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that your will would be done and your message would go out across the country and around the globe. And we pray for over 3 million souls to hear the gospel from this pulpit and to be saved. Thank you for the lady, Lord, who gave her life back to you today through the preaching of the gospel through this ministry. We pray, Lord, for over 3 million Christians to give their lives back to you, to be revived again. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, in light of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s recent birthday celebration and the upcoming national holiday named for him, which starts tomorrow, I would like to continue sharing an adaptation of a message originally delivered by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as a young man, but with great vision, and one of his few truly prophetic messages at Detroit's Second Baptist Church in 1954, 6 years before I was born. It was originally titled Rediscovering Lost Values. Rediscovering Lost Values. And I am, by the grace of God, taking the liberty to retitle it for today, A Message for President Trump, Former President Obama, Pastors and People, from the grave of the Prophet Martin Luther King Jr. in his youth, adapted from his message titled Rediscovering Lost Values. And I have taken the liberty to add a subtitle, This is a Moral Universe. And I'm only adding that because he said that several times in the message, along with if we break God's moral law, we will suffer the consequences. For God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a country soweth, that shall it also reap. Dr. King went on to say, all reality hinges on moral foundations. Moral foundations that much of society has abandoned and have forsaken. Like Jesus' parents on their way back home, they had to go back to Jerusalem to reclaim that which they had lost before they could go forward to Nazareth. And that is what we must do today as well. As Christian people, church-going people who claim to know Christ as Savior, as individuals, as husbands and wives, as children in our families. For Dr. Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, said, there is a church in the home, using Philemon, using the book of Philemon, where Paul talked about the church in the home, or at the house. And then, ladies and gentlemen, like Joseph and Mary, we need to go back as a country, confess our sins and repent and reclaim lost values. The second principle Dr. King discusses is the fact that all reality has spiritual control. In other words, there is a God behind the process. Always. Amen, somebody. The problem with many in the church and in the world today is that we have forgotten God. We have forsaken God. We have left God behind. We have left the Lord Jesus Christ behind. That's why we find him in the book of Revelation knocking on the door of the church, trying to get into his own church. Most churchgoers would not even recognize him. And thousands of churches go on with their services and their programs, and Jesus is not even there. Be that as it may, Dr. King said, we didn't mean to do it. We just got so involved in our accomplishments, getting our education, getting our first job, our material possessions, and the progress of society, that we forgot about God, that we have forgotten about Jesus. And my beloved, if that was the case in 1954, that is certainly the case today, and more so. And then Dr. King said, and that is the danger confronting us, my friends, that in a nation as ours, where we stress mass production, and that is mighty important, where we have so many conveniences, and you know, no country in the history of the world has been more blessed with conveniences than America. No wonder millions want to come. If I was not a naturally born American, a natural born American, I would want to come myself. I am amazed personally, and I'm speaking now, not Dr. King, at the conveniences that we have as Americans. As God has allowed me to travel around the world, and so I know the blessings of this country very well. And Dr. King goes on to say, this country, where we have so many conveniences and luxuries and all of that, there is the danger that we will unconsciously forget about God, forget about Jesus. And we have. That's the truth. We have. So many of us have. Thank God for the faithful few. Thank God for His 7,000 that He always has reserved. The faithful remnant. But for the most part, the church has forgotten about God. Has forgotten Jesus. And the country, of course, has as well. I'm not saying, Dr. King said, that these things aren't important. We need them. We need cars. We need money. All of that is important to live. But whenever they become substitutes for God, they become injurious. And may I say to you, that none of these things can ever be real substitutes for God. Amen, somebody. Automobiles and subways, televisions and radios. Now you must understand, back in 1954, televisions and radios, they were the iPhones and the iPads and the Kindles that we have today. You must understand that. Now, I was born in 1960, and TV was a big deal in 1965. I remember when you wanted color television, you had to buy a plastic thing that had all of the colors of the rainbow on it and cover your television with it. I remember those days. Okay, so just imagine in 1954, Dr. King was talking about having a television. That was a big deal back then, just like the iPhone and the Kindle and the iPad and the laptop is a big deal today, or has been for a while. When real color television came on the scene, that was out of this world. I remember as a little child, one Saturday morning, our parents surprised us with a color television, and for the first time we saw the cartoons in full color. It was like a dream. But be that as it may, back to Dr. King's words, televisions, radios, these things cannot substitute for our relationship with God. Radios, dollars and cents, he pointed out, can never be substitutes for God. For long before any of these things came, he said, for long before any of these things came into existence, we needed God. And long after they will have passed away, we will still need God. Amen, somebody. And I say to you in conclusion that I'm not going to put my ultimate faith in things. Now, this is Dr. King as a young man, preaching the word of God as a modern day prophet. This came before, way before I Have a Dream. This came way before his most prominent prophetic message, when he told the world longevity has its place. He goes on to say in this fine message, I'm not going to put my ultimate faith in gadgets. He's speaking to us today. We love our gadgets, don't we? And by the way, you haven't seen anything yet. I know Alexa as much as I know my wife. In fact, Alexa sleeps closer to me than my wife does. But you haven't seen anything yet, my beloved. I believe that this year, 5G, I think they call it 5G or 4, we have 4G now, but they said when 5G hits, somebody wrote that it's going to be more powerful than the printing press. Now, I thought we had already passed that, but the experts in technology are saying today that 5G is a game changer all the way across the board. It's not just speeding up something or expanding something. It's going to change the game completely. And so Dr. King talks about us loving our gadgets more than we love our God. One man said that 5G is going to push everybody to use their phones for absolutely everything. But Dr. King continues, I'm not going to put my ultimate faith in gadgets and contrivances. He even refers to himself as a young man, for he was a young man at that time. He really didn't hit his stride until much later. As a young man, he is speaking. Dr. King is speaking. He's talking about himself. He says, as a young man with most of my life ahead of me. See, he even thought he was going to live at that time a long life. But God had other plans for him. Dr. King said, I decided early to give my life to something eternal, something absolute. I believe every preacher called by God has that mindset. God uses that to help move them along in accepting the calling. I know for a fact I had that same mentality when God was calling me to preach when I was a young man. Dr. King goes on to say, not to these little G gods that are here today and gone tomorrow. Like the Saints and the Rams. Excuse me, like the Chiefs and the Patriots, like the iPhone and the Android phone, like the iPad and the Kindle. But, he said, to God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen, somebody. Dr. King went on to say, not in the little G gods that can be with us in a few moments of prosperity, but in the God who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. and causes us to fear no evil. My God, my God. Amen, Dr. King. That's the God that I'm going to trust in. Not in the little g God that can give us a few Cadillac cars and Buick convertibles, as nice as they are, that are in style today and out of style 3 years from now. But the God who threw up the stars to bedeck the heavens like swinging lanterns of eternity, that's the God I'm going to serve. That's the God I'm going to trust in. Not in the little g God that can throw up a few skyscraping buildings, but the God who threw up the gigantic mountains, kissing the sky as if to bathe their peaks in the loftitudes. Not in the little g God that can give us a few televisions and radios, but the God who threw up that great cosmic light that gets up early in the morning in the eastern horizon. Amen, somebody. Who paints its technicolor across the blue, something that man could never do. Amen, somebody. And Dr. King went on to say, I'm not going to put my ultimate faith in the little g gods that can be destroyed in an atomic age. But the God who has been our help in ages past and our hope for years to come and our shelter in the time of storm and our eternal home, that's the God that I'm putting my ultimate faith in. That's the God that I call upon you to worship. Go out and be assured that that God is going to last forever. Can somebody say amen? Storms might come and go. Our great skyscraping buildings will come and go. Our beautiful automobiles will come and go, but God will be here. God will be right here. Plants may wither, the flowers may fade away, but the word of our God shall stand forever, and nothing can ever stop him. All of the fighter jets in the world can never reach God. All of our atomic bombs can never reach him. The God that I'm talking about is the God of the universe and the God that will last through the ages. If we are to go forward, my beloved, we've got to go back and find that God. That is the God that demands and commands our ultimate allegiance. And so, beloved, if we are to go forward, we must go back and rediscover these precious values that all reality hinges on moral foundations and that all reality has spiritual control. Shall we pray? Let's stand for a word of prayer. Holy Father God, Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word that remains the same and does not change from 1954 until now. It still has the same power. We praise you and we thank you for raising up this young preacher named Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a prophet for our times. And we thank you, Lord, for this message. And we pray that you would help us as Christians to take heed to it. Help us to confess our sins. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to turn from our wicked ways. Help us to pray. And help us, Lord, to seek your face again, to rediscover you and your biblical values. Have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins, of forsaking you, loving gadgets more than loving you, God. And we pray that you'd forgive us of our sins of loving power and prestige more than loving you, Lord Jesus, the meek and lowly one who had no place to lay his head. And Lord, I pray that you would truly revive your church again and help us to go back so that we can go forward. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have forgotten God and the importance of having God in your life, you need to go back and remember God by getting to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have never even thought about God, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior so that you can know God for the first time. And if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin, the pain of sin, and which is going to hell for eternity. God wants to save you from the power of sin, and he wants to save you from the pain of sin, and he wants to save you from the punishment of sin in hell forever. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a mad place. Hell is a bad place. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Dear friend, you can go to heaven. That's the good news. By trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And Jesus Christ, yes, the same Jesus Christ who preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Yes, the same Jesus Christ who preached more on hell than he did about heaven, said these words in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," his name is Jesus Christ, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. All you have to do is believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead early one Sunday morning, first day of the week, and pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will save you. Here's God's promise for you. In addition, to John 3:16, Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul today. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. You just don't have to be. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't have to do good works in the church to be saved. You don't have to speak in tongues or sing in the choir to be saved. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the beginning point. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. All of these things are good in their place after you get saved. And God will lead you to do that. If you are born again, if you are saved, you will not have a problem getting baptized. You will not have a problem going to church. But you will not be doing those things to get saved. All you have to do to get saved is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him the Savior. And I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. Please repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. God can hear you from wherever you are. I got saved not in a church. I got saved in a dorm room, running away from church. And so God can save you right where you are. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen things before, even if it's paper towels or a pen. I have lusted after people and things before. I have dishonored my parents. I've disobeyed my parents. I've taken your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul and my spirit. And forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways. Help me to change. Help me to be a true disciple of Christ and to follow you for the remainder of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, he paid your sin debt, was buried and rose from the dead on the third day, early one Sunday morning, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus loves you. We love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.